This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
I would run Facebook and LinkedIn ads and make contextual creative to the data that shows me who the historic customers you tend to get are, and I would run the ads against those demographics and psychographics, and I would make 43 different pieces of video starring you or somebody else that went to bring them value so that we built awareness.
So those ads would not look like my traditional TV ads.
Are you crazy? Do you know how bad your traditional TV ad is, no matter how awesome you are? By building a brand digger. Digger, the only way, if that gets to the scale that it could, listen to the words, if that gets to the scale that it could, in 15 years, the only thing that's left is brand. They have to say, Alexa, can you get me Digger? You know, they because if they say, give me a personal, you know, give me a lawyer, give me a whatever, a trainer, a milkshake, whatever, they're gonna have, and that is gonna play out. Yeah,
how do I transition?
By taking 20 to 40% of that money and putting it 100% into something like Facebook against your core demo, 45 to 90, that still translates there, and then by teaming up with your team and others to take 5% and start the beginning of that next generation, which is not gonna come, you are not gonna do well at first, or maybe even at all on Instagram at first, but it's just starting to build the awareness. But I will promise you this, sir, and this is universal. There is no radio and billboard perfect execution that trumps perfect Facebook execution for who you're trying to reach. Here's why. On common sense, that billboard is vanilla. The fact that you can make a reference to Jalen Hurts transferring to Oklahoma, you know, like you could do all sorts of. You can make 8,000 billboards that matter to 8,000 different psychographic and demographic. Alabama's got a lot of micro personalities, genders, races, age groups. You're gonna make you know why the Andy Warhol Super Bowl commercial last year that Burger King did missed the mark? Because nobody under 40 knew what was going on. When you sell vanilla, vanilla's a popular flavor, but when you sell vanilla, you miss a lot of customers. And what you're doing is sheer penetration, and you're no dummy. Billboards can't work as well as they did 10 years ago. Every passenger's looking down at their phone. I'd rather them see your pretty face.
For people that are not, right, like, I get the sense that attorneys are not, they're customers. If you're a corporate attorney, your customer's not on my Facebook. What's another way to gather and create community at scale for sharing? Like, is like Mighty Networks, is that stuff you
I think it's less about putting them into a funnel that's a technical infrastructure, and it's more about taking the thought of community and layering it up. So for example, one thing that I think people are very naive of is how digital is actually the gateway to real life. So I think if you put out great content on LinkedIn, for example, which these customers are on, and you're bringing value to them from their perspective, not yours, and then the 19th post you put in, at, you know, or the 900th is, hey, I'm actually gonna be putting together a dinner where we're gonna drink some good wine and just talk about business or this industry or corporate law. And the first 8 people to RSVP, I'll see you in a private room in the restaurant. I think when you wanna get to the top, the way to put them into a Facebook group is to give them good wine in a private room in a restaurant that you use the digital content to create the RSVP.
So how much time do you spend, because we've been going up the funnel and trying to do that, which becomes more complex on monetizing and going down the funnel and structuring that. How much important time do you put on, is it a byproduct, you just do a lot and you naturally learn from it, you consciously focus the things you are learning as you are doing it?
Yes.
What's the give and take, where do you
fully
take
that.
All these seconds.
Well, I spend 100% of my time on watching people react to things, not to the actual thing. 100%. But I also, and what D-Rock would tell you is, you know, my copy skill, like I know what people want because I'm listening first. For all my talking, and all my interrupting the question and all this, I'm listening at all times. Thus, I have a better sense. I just know what resonates because I'm so, and don't forget, and you know this, this is now 37 years of, like, I don't, you know, this is talent.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've had to come to realize, I'm like, oh, right. In business, in entrepreneurship and communication, no different than in singing and in sports, there is natural talent. The reason I set up the conversation around lemonade and baseball cards, I've been doing this for so long. It's why I was such an atrocious student. Yeah. It was so black and white to me that I couldn't even pander to societal norms of the 80s to even appease my poor mother who would punish me so bad every report card. Because I wanted that every second in the classroom to figure out why did they laugh when I disrupted that? Why is everybody wearing those sneakers? I mean, like I literally just said something that I've never, I know D-Rock's never heard this. I used to sit in class and fundamentally analyze everything people wore without even knowing why I was doing that.
Yeah,
and so that's it.
But then how much of the time like is you spend with the audience building versus thinking about how to monetize a jab versus
I'm a little bit unusual, and you may know, I think you know this, I have a separate business that doesn't monetize my audience, thus I spend no time. My great secret compared to all the other personalities is none of the important finances come.
What's the output? How much time do you spend thinking about the monetization
and zero.
Secondary effects?
Zero. Because the framework's already been created.
The audience is there. And then you think about it in different contexts.
I just know there's some trickle down, but zero thought into it. I don't know, you know, it's just not the way I think. I build other businesses to make sure I don't have to rely on any conversion from it. You can ask D-Rock, when we sell a t-shirt for fun to learn, like I'll do on my text messaging platform, or if it's the sneakers or the wine, I weirdly like better when it doesn't do well.
But it does monetize, yeah, it's unconscious for you. You have people in place to actually translate it.
Yes, yes, but again, the economics are so minute in comparison. Yes, which, but really that matters. That changes the entire intent paradigm.
I'm always trying to figure out a good formula of when to engage and when not to. Sometimes it's nice when a client engages for us. You know, if it's a bad review.
It's a great question. Yeah.
Wonderful. But I haven't quite figured out a good formula.
There is no formula. I think I actually think you've got it down because I do the same. I just think it comes down to timing. And serendipity. Sometimes you just got 15 minutes and you know sometimes when there's a lot of things going bad around me, I've got some fires, I got some issues, my grandma passed away this last summer, and you know, when she was not, you know, like when life, right? The Jets are 0-3, I'm on tilt, you know? Sometimes I'm not just in the mood to know I'm gonna have to spend 15 minutes maybe going back and forth to try to, right? Other times, I'm bored, I feel fresh. I got 8 minutes because something got canceled. And I'm like, I'm gonna get in there. I wouldn't overjudge yourself. There is no proper answer. I think it's predicated on your current mindset to be able to be the bigger person. People lose because they go into a debate or a conversation, but they're not emotionally balanced, which allows them to get triggered, which makes them overreact, which changes the context of the actual merit of the conversation, which f***s up the whole thing, AKA America.
You have to get someone in-house to like, because you're never gonna go when you go, oh, we're gonna spend $30,000 a month with this agency to help us with our Facebook stuff, right?
I think at a small scale, in-house is a great way to go. I do. You can steal somebody. My belief is that everybody I'm looking at right now should take the at-bat to try to figure it out themselves because it's that important. That was the point I made about balancing your checkbook. Like, to me, communications is oxygen, no different than actually understanding how to handle cash flow. I really believe that. I believe it's become that singularly important.